All right, welcome to part three of our series, Summer Fruit. Anybody enjoying this series? Anybody? Good, three of you. That's awesome. That's awesome. I just want to say right here, as we always do, welcome to all those that are joining us online. So glad to have you along for the ride. I have so many faithfully every week. I run into people from time to time that may be coming through Charlotte from out of town, and they contact us and let us know they're watching every week. And just our honor to be in your homes, in your cars. Hopefully you're not the one driving. But anyway, we're so glad to have you along for the ride. Come on, let's welcome all those that are here online at our online campus. So glad that you're a part of what we're doing here. I want to jump right into this series, Summer Fruit. The purpose of this is, and we've kind of laid this out, so I want to just kind of reiterate this in case you're just jumping in on this today. But when we talk about summer fruit, we know that there's some fruit that are seasonal that only happen during the summer. We're actually not talking about that kind of fruit. We're talking about a fruit that's lifelong fruit, but we're taking the summer to focus on producing fruit in our life. There's two kinds of fruit. There's a fruit that we know that when we're talking about being fruitful and we're producing fruit, we think of maybe even in the terms of a harvest, where the fruit comes in, we're reaping a harvest, or we're reproducing our life, we're multiplying. But that's one kind of fruit, but we're actually focusing on an internal fruit that happens. It's visible to the outside, but it happens from the inside out. And I believe when we focus on this kind of fruit, what happens on the inside and then moves to the outside, it actually then produces the second kind of fruit, right? So we're really taking a series where we're focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. And when we say the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's actually one fruit, but it has nine different characteristics as listed in the Bible of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're taking those nine characteristics and breaking those down and bringing you what I believe it can be a life-changing message. And so I want us to jump right into Galatians chapter 5, which is our foundational scripture for this series, where really we just have a list that says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, we talked about that in week one, and if you missed that, you need to get a hold of that one. And then joy, we all need more joy, and that was week two. Actually, we're in week four now. I miscounted, didn't I? Week three, we talked about peace, and Pastor Steve, our small groups pastor, delivered a phenomenal message. I mean, I believe it's the best he's ever done last Sunday. If you missed that, please go online, listen to that, download notes there, and follow along with that. But again, so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Today we're going to talk about patience. And then kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. So we're talking about patience today, and I want to define for us this morning really what patience actually is. Patience is, let's just put it this way. Let's talk about what patience is not, okay? What patience is not. Patience is not inactivity. It's not inactivity. So you think, well, I just need to be patient, fold my hands, and just not move, not do anything. It's not idleness. Waiting patiently doesn't necessarily meaning to completely stop. It depends. God may speak to you and say, stand still and see the glory of God. But even in our standing still, I believe what God's talking about is spiritually. We're waiting on Him. So it doesn't necessarily mean inactivity. This may sound like the same thing, but it doesn't. Patience is not unproductivity. It's not unproductivity. It doesn't mean that there's nothing happening. It doesn't mean we can't be producing during the period of having patience. Some people think it's sitting on the stool of do nothing and whistling a tune of do less. You ever heard that one before? It doesn't mean that nothing is happening. In fact, something great may be happening more so when we are waiting patiently than we are when we're busy running around. You ever seen people that, you know, run around like with their heads with chicken with head cut off. I don't know what that means. I don't know how a chicken runs with his head cut off. It's just, I'm born in the South. I've just heard that before all my life. But run around and get very little done, but yet you've seen other people that kind of calmly, methodically move through life and accomplish so many great things. So patience doesn't mean that something isn't happening. There may be great things happening. In fact, there may be more happening underneath the surface otherwise when we operate in this thing called patience. So patience is not inactivity. It's not unproductivity. And patience is not ignorance. Patience is not ignorance. And so, well, what does that have to do with patience? Well, patience can oftentimes be misread as not realizing the gravity of the situation. How can you be so calm? How can you be so relaxed? What's wrong with you? Do you not understand? Maybe you didn't get the maybe you didn't hear the message that I tried to tell you just a moment ago. You seem to react to it so calmly, and so we oftentimes it's misread. It's like what's wrong with you? You're like an ostrich with your head stuck in the ground. I don't know how that works either, guys. But anyway, but patience is not ignorance. It doesn't mean that you did not realize the situation or the gravity of the situation. And then along with that, patience is not apathy. I love putting those two together, ignorance and apathy. You know what ignorance and apathy is? Don't know, don't care. Come on, y'all. A little bit of humor won't hurt us here, okay? All right. Apathy, and that is patience can often be misread as uncaring. You know, we should have a sense of urgency. How can you be so apathetic? But patience is not those things. Let me give you what I believe is a definition of patience, and I believe as I study this, this is just what my words that I've come up with on it. Patience is an internal assurance and confidence. It goes beyond just assurance. There's a confidence that God is in control and an ability to trust, and somebody underline, if you're writing that down, underline the word trust or write trust somewhere. Because this thing is very much tied to that word. We're going to discover this today. So it's an ability to trust in God regardless of time, circumstances, or outcome. That word patience in the King James Version, it actually has the word in the scripture of Galatians chapter 5 as the word long-suffering. And can I tell you that when you describe the attributes of God, He is long-suffering. And that means He suffers long with us. He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad? And see, sometimes in our impatience, we give up on God, but God never gives up on us. Isn't that amazing? So I would just challenge us today, understand this fact, and that is that God doesn't give up on you, then don't give up on Him. And if anybody should be giving up on somebody, it should be God giving up on us, but He doesn't. And how dare us think that we should be giving up on Him? Don't give up on God. Amen? So King James says it's long-suffering. NIV, forbearance. So let me back up that word long-suffering. Long-suffering. That word long-suffering. So there is an idea of suffering. Sometimes in this arena of patience, there's some suffering involved. There's some things that you're going to have to endure. I'm so glad, though, that what we're going to talk about today is that God's able to put something within you that's able to outlast whatever is attacking you, whatever the enemy is throwing your way. There is a spirit within you that, if you've accepted the Spirit of Christ within you, there is an ability to outlast and come on and be standing at the end of the day no matter what happens. There's a strong man inside of you. And so there's some suffering involved in that. So the King James talks about long-suffering. NIV calls it forbearance. That means there's going to be some things that you're going to have to bear, that you're going to have to carry. So there's an idea of endurance. So throughout Scripture, you see a lot of different words in different versions for this word patience. You see the idea of endurance. You're talking about running the race with patience or with endurance, Paul says. So it's a strong word. It's a strong word. And we all need patience. My father growing up, he always facetiously used to say, "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." You ever, you know? Yeah. We all need patience. Patience. Patience will help you survive in life. Speaking of survival, I heard a story of two guys that got shipwrecked on an island. Some of you may have heard this before, but indulge me. Be patient with me, okay? Suffer long, okay? So these two guys were on this island, and they were shipwrecked. And there they were with no food, no water. What were they going to do? And one guy was in an absolute panic. I mean, what are we going to do? 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 We're going to die. I know nobody knows we're here. You know, we have no phone, nothing. And the other guy was just sitting underneath a palm tree in the shade, man, just chilling. Patient as could be, just relaxed. And the guy looked at him, "How can you sit there so patiently as if everything's okay? Don't you realize we're going to die?" And he said, "No." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "What do you mean I don't understand? I'm on this island stranded." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "I'm a Christian. And furthermore, I go to church. And besides that, I'm a millionaire." "Well, that's great and wonderful, but your millions of dollars ain't going to save us here. Here we are. What good is that going to do us?" He said, "You don't understand. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm a millionaire. And I pay tithes." "What does that have to do with anything?" "I pay tithes. My pastor will find me." That's what he told me. So, I don't know. That's kind of... hope you take that in the right way. Just a little humor. But as I look at the word patience, it is based on a knowledge of something. This guy had patience because he knew something. When you have patience, there's something that you know that perhaps the impatient person doesn't know. Okay? Patience. There's many verses. I went through scripture and I started just amazed at all the word, how many verses had the word patience in them. And all the reference to patience. And I realized, my goodness, it is connected to so many things dealing with our Christian faith. It is connected to so many things of how we do life, of how we live every day. Every day of our life, we've got to operate in this area of patience because it affects so many different areas. I was looking through the scripture I actually went to the King James because so many different versions change and put a different word in there. So I went to the King James. I just took my phone, you know, and I went to my Bible app. Anybody got the Bible app, you know, and you go in there and you just search patience and just put in King James. So and you just keep hitting the word more and more and more, and it just keeps listing them, you know. And I said, "This is good, this is good, this is good, oh, this is good, oh, this is good." And I was actually walking to work one day, and I was on my secular job I do, and my father, I was talking to him about it, and he said, "That doesn't mean you have to share them all on Sunday." So I'm not going to share all of them with you, but I encourage you this afternoon, go home, take your Bible app, and just, I mean, you'll just feed you. You'll have an afternoon snack. I mean, you'll have an afternoon meal. It's just good stuff. But I do, so I'm trying, it's a very exhaustive topic, but I want to try to simplify it this morning. I want to try to put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get to them, okay? And I believe it'll change your life. I think there's some things, though, because listen, patience, again, it has so much to do with life and living life well as God intended it to be. It's all tied into patience. Luke 21 and 19 says, "By your patience possess your souls." So it's in patience possess you your souls. And I've often said before that you'll possess, when you have patience, you'll possess your souls, because you could lose or find your life in this arena of patience. And I've applied it to other areas. I said, you could possess your soul, you can possess your car, because you won't go out too quickly in front of that traffic when you lose patience. I mean, if you want to just exercise patience, just go out into traffic in Charlotte, you know. Just go out and patience. There's some days that you just need patience just to get through traffic in Charlotte. I've learned I've tried to just kind of, I'm looking for peace, y'all. So I've traded my car in for something called the light rail. And the other morning, I'm thinking, I'm going to a light rail. I'm going to have a stress-free day. You ever want a stress-free day? Anybody ever had a stress-free day? I don't know if we ever, there is such a thing as a stress-free day. I go up, my wife takes me over here to UNC Charlotte, and I'm going to catch the train to go uptown. And for those of you that don't know, I work a secular job. I'm a mailman during the day. I just must confess, I'm a mailman. I deliver the mail, but I'm doing that now. Either way, I'm just the mailman. Leave me alone. Okay, don't bother. All right. So my wife takes me up to the light rail to catch the train, and there's no train. And I'm thinking, okay, well, he'll be here any moment. She drops me off. She leaves. I go up. I take my credit card. I get me a ticket. As soon as I get the ticket, then I hear the announcement. There's a mechanical. Your train ain't coming. That ain't kind of how they said it, but that's what the message was. And so then I'm like, oh, no. So I turn around. I call my wife. Can you circle back around? There's no train. There's no train. And so she ends up having to take me all the way to work because there's no train. Then I get out on my route, and I'm telling you the truth. I didn't know if I should share this or not, but you need a little humor. You need a little laughter today, okay? So then I get out of my vehicle after not getting a train. I get to my work, and I get out at my first stop on my route, and I step out of my vehicle, and as soon as I step out, a bird on my head, okay? I'm just saying. And I'm like, really? 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 I was looking forward to having a stress-free day riding the light rail and got my wife all stressed out because she had to get me to work, and she was late to work, and then a bird, and I'm like, okay. I'm just saying, you're going to have stress in your life. You're going to have things that's going to drive you crazy. There's no getting around it, whether you're in Charlotte traffic or on the light rail. You're going to need this thing called patience. But can I just tell you this? Impatience will produce a list of bad things in your life. Now, as we've been going through this series, I've been backing up above that list of the fruit of the Spirit. There's another list, and I've been sharing that with you. But I want you to see that this list, and that's talking about the works of the flesh, in other words, that sinful nature that we've all inherited will manifest itself in this way. I believe that when we operate in the area of impatience, it will produce and can be connected to every one of these things on this list. Look at this in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. It says, when you follow the desires of the sinful nature, and part of that nature is impatience. I'm impatient. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. What I'm presenting to you is that when you operate with impatience, you can actually run into any one of these areas. In fact, Galatians, I'll back it up, scroll up a little bit before that. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17 says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Now, the Spirit's going to produce patience. That's the fruit that the Spirit produces. The flesh produces impatience. So the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. I'm impatient. I want what I want. I want it all. I want it now. But the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you won't. Look at verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there's a law that says, I'm sorry, I'm just an impatient person. That's who I am. I'm quick to fly off the handle. I have a short wick. I got a short temper. I'm just who I am. I just don't have any patience for kids. I don't have any patience for my wife, for my husband. I don't have patience for work. I don't have patience for traffic. I don't have patience for life. I don't have patience for these things. I'm just impatient. That's just who I am. Well, that's a law of the sinful nature. But there's a higher law that says that if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law of impatience, okay? Just applying this to this. All right. Impatience, as I look at impatience, I believe that patience is rooted in some things. I believe patience is, and let me just give you, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just some things that I've thrown on the board that I think applies. Impatience is rooted in dissatisfaction. I'm dissatisfied. Never satisfied. Never enough. Dissatisfied. I need some satisfaction. And I'm impatient because I'm not satisfied or I'm not fulfilled. Another word is discontentment. I'm not content. I'm just not content. I need more. I need to be at another place or another time or another person or situation, or I need another degree, or I need another kid, or I need to lose a kid. I need the kids, you know, I don't know. Some people want kids and some people want the kids out. I don't know. But we're discontent, right? Just discontent. Discontent. Never happy. Get a piece of furniture. As soon as you get in the house, it's not the right piece of furniture. Get a car. I don't like this car. I wish I'd have never got this car. Discontent. Impatient. With people, I believe it's rooted in some discontentment. Another area is selfishness. I'm impatient. I want what I want. I'm impatient. And so there's a little bit of selfishness there. Not concerned about others. I'm concerned about myself. I'm impatient. I need this. I need you to get out of my way. It's about me. It's not about where you've got to go. It's where I've got to go. I'm trying to get to work. You know, the vehicle in front of you at the light and just can't figure out what green and red and yellow means. And you're saying turn or burn. You know, I mean, yes, those words have come out of my mouth. I'll be honest with you. Selfish, not concerned about them. I told y'all, look, I don't mean to bring this up, but I'm just feel a little transparent today. Some of you have heard this, but I feel like it bears repeating. I was going to work one day, and I had my son on the phone, and I'm blowing. Well, this car, you know, it's green, but it's turning yellow, and it's like just go. I'm like one block more, and I could turn and work. And he's just sitting, and what is it? They slow up. It's like getting, like having a sloth waiting on you at the post office. You know, it just slows up. You know, it's slow, and I'm like, so what do I do? What you do? I laid on my horn, and I'm going, oh, and my son. It's on the phone hearing me because I was in the middle of a conversation with my son at the time. And at that exact moment, the passenger door of the vehicle in front of me opens. And I'm like, uh-oh, not good. And this guy gets out, and he's bigger than me. He's a lot bigger than me. And he's like, and I'm like, impatience will get you in trouble. I was concerned about where they had to get to or what was on their agenda, what was going on inside their car. I don't know. I was concerned about me getting to work. It's selfish. Okay, let me move on. Sorry. Got stuck there. Impatience is rooted in unrest. Unrest. There's no restful. There's a restlessness to the impatient person. Let me move quicker. It's also rooted in fear. Fear. If I can't, if things don't go my way, bad things are going to happen. Something's, you know, when things don't look the way we think they should look, this fear comes on us. And this is, it's also rooted in doubt. I believe that's a big one. Doubt. I think we think at times things depend upon us and us getting it done and us making it happen instead of faith in God. We doubt God. We think it's all up to us or up to our circumstance that is around us instead of understanding that there is a Spirit of the living God that is directing and orchestrating and guiding our life. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. He will orchestrate our life despite the obstacles. And I have to say, in spite of myself, he does that. So I believe, again, impatience is tied to a sinful nature. It's saying, I want it all, I want it now, right? Impatience is saying, I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. And it will birth things in your life that are not good. I won't spend time taking you to the actual scripture, but I will tell you the story very quickly. Abraham was promised that he would have a son by Sarah. And he was old, and she was old. And she laughed and said, you know, and he's even saying, how? You know, I don't understand this. But the Bible records it in the New Testament that he had faith in God and trusted God. But yet there came a moment of impatience when it looked like Sarah wasn't going to be able to have a child, started questioning God and saying, well, perhaps he means it through another person other than Sarah. But yet Sarah was the one God had said that you would have this child through. And so doubting the plan of God, Sarah gave to Abraham her handmaiden Hagar. And from Hagar was born Ishmael. Sometimes when we don't wait on God's plan for an Isaac, we birth Ishmael. And from Ishmael, there rose up a nation. And I'm not here to get into politics, but I will tell you that there is a nation now that is contrary to the existence of Israel, brothers against brothers, stepbrothers, and you know what I'm saying? And so we birth sometimes a whole slew of problems because of impatience instead of waiting on Isaac, instead of waiting on the promise of God. I put it to you this way, impatience will have us sowing some wild oats. Can I just warn you, wild oats come up. And so we end up birthing things that should not be, and we abort things that should be at times. We're going places and doing things we ought not do and not doing the things we should be doing. We're going places and doing crazy things, trying to find some satisfaction, trying to find some contentment, trying to find something that will satisfy self, trying to find some place of rest and where we can deal with this fear and doubt. That's what this thing of impatience will do in our life. Impatience will have you running like a wild child. It will. Like a hamster on a wheel, impatience, blowing in the wind. No, and also, when you're blowing in the wind with impatience, there's no root to you. You don't stand still long enough to grow any roots, but if you don't grow any roots, you're not going to grow, and if you don't grow, you're not going to bloom. You're not going to bud. You're not going to bloom. You're not going to produce any fruit. You're not going to have any purpose. Your life's not going to mean much when you're always running here and there. It will produce no fruit. And what we're talking about is producing fruit. But the Bible says that patience will, Jesus says, will produce peace. It will produce life. And we look at that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will. Now look at this. When we talk about patience, there's a knowledge associated with that. So we're asking God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10 says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Talking about fruit now. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. How do we do that? We learn to know Him through the circumstances of life, through those things that would, by the flesh, we would respond in an impatient way. But because of those things, it causes us to discover who He is in the midst of that. Verse 11 says, we also pray that you will be strengthened. Everybody say strengthened. You'll be strengthened with all His glorious power so that you will have all the, look at this, endurance and patience you need. Goes on to talk about you're going to be filled with joy. It's going to give you something. It's going to produce peace, and it's going to produce joy in your life. I've shared with you what impatience is rooted in. Here's what I believe. impatience is rooted. Let me give you what patience is rooted in, I believe. I believe patience is rooted in faith. Faith. There is a faith that we have in God. It's got to begin there. It's got to begin there. It's a knowledge of who He is. Faith that He is God. They that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We know that God is, that He exists, and that He cares about me. He is touched with the feeling of my infirmity. He knows where I am. He knows my name. He knows the number of hairs upon my head. He cares about me. I'm important to Him. I'm the apple of His eye. He loves me beyond measure. And His mercy endures forever, and He's even long-suffering, thank God, with me through every circumstance of life. Amen? Faith. Have faith in God. But not only in who He is, but then this is the big one, trust. It's rooted in trust. Trust. That means that I have faith in who He is, but now I also trust. So I have faith in His face, the character of who He is. But I don't just have faith in His face. I have trust in His heart. I have trust even when I don't see things, even when His hand doesn't deliver what I want it to deliver and it doesn't go my way, I trust that He's working all things together for my good. I trust that He has my best interest at heart. I trust that He can see things that I cannot see. I trust that He sees before me and behind me and all around me. He has a higher perspective than I do. I cannot see. I am limited in my vision. So I don't just trust my feelings or what I can see. The Bible says that faith is by faith. Hey, look, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not by what I see, but it's by who I know. And I know the one that I'm looking to. He has my hand. He's holding my hand. The Bible says He'll hold us by His right hand. Even though we fall, we shall not utterly fall. He'll uphold us. It's trusting Him through everything, no matter who abandons you, who neglects you, who betrays you. He will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you trust in that. Amen. I just feel like preaching today. I don't know what it is. So patience is rooted in faith, it's rooted in trust, but also it's rooted in this thing called contentment. Oh my. There's a verse that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. I used to always hear it preached that way. Great gain. Godliness with contentment. And godliness will bring contentment when you're living right. And see, part of that, the problem with impatience is there's something missing on the inside. There's something there that's not right. When things are bright in your relationship with God, there's a contentment. I'm going to get into relationship here in a moment, but contentment. Now, another area that patience is rooted in is selflessness. This is huge. We don't think about this when it comes to patience. But honestly, when you're more concerned about others than yourself, when you're invested in others and you're selfless, not selfish, there's a contentment that comes. In fact, I'd encourage you today, if you're wrestling with this area of patience or impatience, and you tend to gravitate to that, which all of us do in our sinful nature, I would encourage you to go to the hospital and just walk down the hall and start getting concerned about somebody else. So, you know, you'll realize you don't have any problems, right? Selflessness. It's also rooted in truth. Patience is rooted in truth. So, in other words, I know something. I know something more than my circumstance. I know something than what you're telling me. I know more. I know something beyond the negative and the cynicism and the skepticism and whatever cism it is. I know something. I know something. I know someone. I know His word. And so when I build my life on what is truth, listen, I have patience. Because, see, here's the thing. I've read the front of the book. I've read that there's problems. You need to read about God's word. I mean, it's awesome. There's drama. There's everything you want in here. I mean, why pick up another novel? This is the truth, and it's all in here, and it's good, and it's funny, and it's also just, some of it's entertaining and some of it's heartbreaking. It'll have you crying and laughing all at the same time. But then when you get over to the end of the book, here's what happens. You read the end of the book and here's what you find out. We win. We win. So no matter what we're going through, the truth of the matter is at the end of it all, ultimately, we win. So I'm content. right? I have truth. I have patience. Okay? And then patience is also rooted in this thing called relationship. Relationship. And boy, that's huge. I don't know why. I put the biggest ones at the last, at the end of the list. Okay? This one's big. Relationship. We have a relationship. There's just a peace that comes. And we're patient with other people because we don't need other people to satisfy that need, that longing, whatever. God satisfies that. Had the honor of marrying a couple, officiating a wedding last weekend. And as they stood at the altar, I reminded them, there's a place your husband's going to feel in your heart. There's a place your wife's going to feel in your heart. But there's a place that they cannot feel. So don't expect them to be God because they're not. We have unrealistic expectations. I think that's what causes a lot of problems in marriage. There's a place only God can feel. And I think sometimes we're impatient with people because we're expecting those people to feel something in our life that can only be filled with God. When we have that place filled with God, then we're okay to go out and have right and healthy relationships with other people. But there's got to be a right relationship with God. Am I making any sense here this morning? We got to have right relationship with God. It's really comes down to this thing of impatience. If we have a relationship with God, we're okay. When we practice being in His presence, being in relationship, there's something that comes with that that just settles everything, gives you contentment. I've got an illustration that's kind of bouncing around my head that I didn't plan on sharing, but I don't know if it fits or not. But my parents, when my mother was up here some years ago, had a massive heart attack and went through the whole ordeal and all that follows that, the hospital, getting things right. And I remember, you know, I'd take some time off from work, and I was there with my parents in the hospital room, and they weren't saying anything, and I wasn't saying anything. They were just resting, and I was resting. But there was something about just being in the room with them, just being in their presence. Just satisfied me. It just settled me. It's just like everything's okay. Just being in their presence. Now, multiply that about a gazillion times. When we're in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. There's a peace and a knowledge and a contentment that happens in that place. I'm going to tell you, patience. Let me just share this with you, the benefits of it. Patience will save your marriage. Patience will save your children. It'll save your family. Patience will get you in school, and it'll get you through school, and it'll get you graduated from school. Come on. Patience will get you a job. Patience will help you keep a job after you got the job. Come on. All right? Somebody said one time, they said they quit this company because they lied to them. I said, "They really? They did. The world lied? Really? And you quit? Come on." I said, "You wouldn't last a day." Anyway, I'm just saying, patience will keep you in that place, right? It'll help you endure all those things. Patience will protect you physically. Patience will protect you mentally. Patience will protect you spiritually. Patience will help you to wait on the right spouse. Come on. Patience will keep you from throwing out the spouse you've got out. Come on. Patience will keep you from throwing in the towel, from turning in the keys, from turning out the lights, from removing the quit option. Patience will keep you from giving up, right? Come on. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Think about this. If you're a farmer, you got to wait. You got to sow and then you wait. If you're a fisherman, you got to throw the hook. You got to wait, unless they're really biting. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it takes patience. And it takes some waiting. Now, this scripture says those that wait on the Lord. One version says they that trust. See, it's a kind of the same thing. Or those that hope in the Lord, as another translation says. But that word waiting, wait on the Lord. I want you to follow that. I want to come back. I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. James chapter 1. Don't have that one. Let me pull that up real fast. Bear with me. Y'all have patience with me. Have patience with me. Let me do it this way. Let me do it the good way. James. James chapter 4. Excuse me. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this, knowing this, well, let me back up to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, yeah, that's joyful, temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So he's saying that the trials are actually working patience. Now, I've heard it said, people say, well, it's your trials that's going to cause you to have patience when you go through trials. And people say, I ain't going to pray for patience because if I do, God's going to send me a bunch of trials. The Word never said that. We deduct that. It never said that. Never said God's going to send trials to you when you pray for patience. It never said that. What it does say is, though, Jesus said you are going to have problems in this world, so trials are going to come. That doesn't mean God sent them, but God will use them, okay? God will take what the enemy meant for bad, and he'll turn it around for good. So in the midst of life, because life's going to happen, it's not a perfect world. There's no stress-free day, okay? It's going to happen. But in the midst of that, God's going to use those things to teach us some things about who he is, and we're going to develop this thing called patience. And when he develops that in our life, we're going to be perfect and wanting nothing. No, we're going to be satisfied. When we're patient, it's okay. I got everything I need. I remember one lady used to attend our church and say, how you doing? She'd say, blessed. Her name was Sister Gladys. We called her Sister Gladys. How you doing, Sister Gladys? Blessed, blessed, just blessed, blessed, blessed. Her answer is always blessed. No matter how bad it is, blessed. She got robbed one time. She just prayed for people. God bless them. They must have needed that stuff more than I did. I'm just blessed. I'm glad I didn't have to be that person robbing me, but they must have really some great needs. I'm just blessed, blessed. Come on, what do you do with a person like this? Blessed. Every response to everything, every stress in life, I'm just blessed. Thank you. You know, thank you. You know, and when somebody insults you, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Maybe that's an area I need to work on. You know, just blessed. I'm not talking about being naive and stupid, but I am saying, look, come on, that there's a spirit within us that's stronger than that spirit that's coming against us. Come on, somebody. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. God gives us an ability. Come on, there's a strong man on the inside. It says, I'm going to rise up above that, and no matter what I go through, God's developing this thing, and I'm waiting on him. He's going to show up. He's going to do what he needs to do in my life. So you say, well, I need patience. What do I do? And I'm going to run through this very quickly. What do I do? I need patience in my life. And let me just tell you, patience is not just waiting. Patience is how you wait. Because you're going to have to wait. You know what I mean? The waiting may not be a choice. You may have a choice whether to wait or not, because the answer ain't here yet, right? So that's a given. But it's not just about waiting. It's how you wait. It's the behavior. It's the attitude I have while I'm waiting. Am I trusting God or am I so upset with God I can spit? Because I ain't got what I want. No? See what I'm saying? So patience is waiting on God. So how do I receive this spirit within me, this patience within me? Number one, this is simple, but it points back to what I believe all this is tied to, and it's this word trust. Number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge, this version says, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, not my way, God, your way. Not my will, your will. Not like Adam says, Eve says, I won't. In the Garden of Eden, no, it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, God, not my will, but your will be done, right? It's submitting to you, God. It's surrendering to him. Trust in the Lord. Number two, run to God. Run to God. I love this. It's found in Psalm 91, probably my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, and begins by saying, whoever dwells in the secret place or the shelter of the Most High. Y'all read it in that version. I just got to read it the way I know it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, and it goes on. I'll just stop right there. I'm sorry. I'm just King James, right? I got a little King James DNA in me. All right. But look at what he says there. You'll find refuge in him. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. So that means we're going to run to him. The Bible says the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. So here's what I'm saying with that. When things aren't going your way, oftentimes our human nature is to run the opposite direction of where we need to run. We run away from God. We run into trouble. We run and do crazy stuff because we're not satisfied on the inside. We're not getting what we want. And we run somewhere else to try to find the fix of whatever that is within us. What I'm saying is, if we would run to God, let prayer be your first response, not your last resort. If we would run to God and seek him first, I'm telling you, he will calm us. There we'll find peace. There we'll find rest. There will grow in patience. I just feel like preaching today. Run to God. And when you're in the valley and things aren't going your way, did you know it's in the valley where the corn grows? It isn't on the roof, on the mountaintop where the sun's shining, where it's where it's moist and where there's some shadows being cast. In that place, listen, there's growth that happens in the midst of the valley. And by the way, he's God of the valley, not just God of the mountaintop. Remember, I ain't got time to go into every story that's bouncing in my head right now, but there was an army that thought that he was, of Israel, that thought that he was the God of the mountaintop, said, we'll get him on, they knew God would beat, God always won on the mountaintop, right? And they said, Lord help me, I got to slow down. I need patience. Okay. The enemy was already getting defeated on the mountaintop. And the enemy said, if we can get him in the valley, he's God of the mountaintop, but he's not God of the valley. They got him in the valley. You know what happened? The enemy got destroyed. Listen, he's God of the mountaintop, and he's God of the valley, and he's God of everything in between. Run to him. Number three, rest in God's word. Rest in God's word. Rest in God's word. One of my favorite verses is this verse. That's found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, or your conversation, or the way you live your life. Be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. What do I have? Here's what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's everything, y'all. That's everything. No matter what you have or gain or lose in life, that's everything. When he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, be content, because that's what you've got. You've got the faithful one that has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. So rest. Rest in God's word and what he has declared. His promises are true, and he will fulfill them in your life. And it may not be in this lifetime. It may be in the life to come, but God's going to fulfill every one of them. Amen? Can I get a good amen? Number four, serve God with gladness. How do I get patience? Serve him with how? With gladness. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord. One version says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So we're serving the Lord. Our service is worship to him. We're serving with gladness. So we're waiting on him. But that word wait, I just want to present to you what waiting is. Waiting is not just twiddling your thumbs. Waiting is serving. Let me see if I can present it to you this way. This is waiting. This is waiting. How may I serve you? It's the one that serves others, cares about others. That's how we wait on the Lord. It isn't idleness. We say, wait, we're going to wait on the Lord. God works with those who work, I've noticed. But we're waiting on the inside with patience. But while we're waiting with patience, we're waiting on others. We're serving. We're washing feet. Come on. We're taking care of other people's needs. We're serving. We're glad. I'm talking about how to develop patience in your life. Let me give you this one. Number five, surrender the results to God. Surrender the results. After you've prayed and done all you know to do, surrender everything. And along with the results, let me just put in parentheses life. Surrender your life to God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 says, "For we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise." The promise. And God's got the promise for us, and His promise is a promise of life. The product of impatience is pain, but the product of patience is peace. Anybody need some peace today? Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, this isn't just a trait. It's what you are able to impart, to deposit in our life. It is your power. It is your Spirit that in the midst of it all, we can be still and know that you are God and that you have everything under control. And the only way we can discover that, God, is that we are in a personal relationship, a vibrant relationship with you. Lord, today may we know that we're in relationship with you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you know that perhaps in your life you just have unrest and maybe there's some turmoil, some turbulence, some things that aren't settled in your mind or in your spirit, God intended for you to have life and life to the full. And I believe that you can discover that through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can find the peace, the contentment. You can be settled in your spirit. Again, it comes through a personal relationship with Him. So what I'd like to do today, I'd like to pray a prayer with you today here in this building and also for those watching online. If you say to me, Pastor, there's some areas of my life that are unsettled. There's some things that, some unfinished business, some things that perhaps it's unforgiveness in your life. Perhaps it's just some things that haven't been resolved. I want to tell you that everything is resolved first. All things, it begins at the altar. It begins in coming to God in prayer, in faith, and saying, today, God, I want you to order my life. I want you to be first in my life. I want you to take first place. I want you to put things in order so that my life's not chaotic, but I'm living my life in peace. And I can have this fruit called patience in my life, this settledness. I want to pray a prayer with you today. If you're here today and you say, I'm far from God, I need a right relationship with Him, or perhaps you just know that your relationship is not where it needs to be and you need it lined up. You need to make sure God's first on your list again. I want to pray with you this prayer here in this house or watching online. But if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you include me in? You count me in? I'm just going to, right where you're seated, I'm just going to pray with you. But if that's you, just slip up a hand. You can put it right back down. God bless you today. Good job. Good job. Yes. I'm so proud of you. Yes, I see these hands. If you're watching online, I hope that you'll just join us today. You can respond on there if you like, or you can email me privately if you like. My email address is there online and on our website. But right where you're seated, whether you're at home or in this building, for those of you that need to pray this prayer, I want to just help lead you in a prayer right now. So while heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I want to invite everyone out loud to pray this, just for those that need to pray this for privacy. Come on. Would you just pray something like this, just from your heart? Just pray this out loud. Just say, God, today, I surrender my life to you. I need your peace. And so today, I declare my trust in you. I invite you to come in. Settle my heart. Settle my issues. Settle my yesterday. Settle my past. God, I knew it was settled when you sent your son to die on the cross for me. Jesus, you paid my debt. You settled my account. I thank you for that. And by faith, I accept you. I accept your forgiveness. I turn from my way and I follow you. I invite you to come in. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. Be number one in my life. With all my heart, I'll serve you. I want to say this. Today I give you my life. Thank you, God. I declare you're my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer. I pray over them, God. I thank you for what has happened this very moment in the Spirit. I thank you, God, they are now born again. I thank you now they have a new beginning. I thank you now the past is settled and now they have a future. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their life. And God, I pray your guidance, your direction on every step that they'll walk, Lord, and follow you with endurance, with patience, trusting you one day at a time. God, I pray as a church, Lord, as we exercise this fruit of the Spirit of patience, God, may we wait for the fruit of righteousness. May we see lives change. May we see, Lord, reproductive fruit. May we see the kingdom of God increase. God, we're trusting you for it. We thank you for it in advance. And we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.